98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Kyler Murray is on the move. His performance in week one has reignited imaginations across the football universe. He is now 9-1 to win the NFL's MVP award. Only Patrick Mahomes has lower odds. No doubt there was certain determination to Murray's performance on Sunday in Nashville. He kept making plays. He kept making throws. He was frustrated by a couple of holding calls that negated a couple of his nifty runs, and yet he kept moving forward. He personally pulled the Cardinals out of a sloppy mess of a game. Now, his 5 touchdowns on Sunday are why fantasy football players love him. His quickness and foot speed and arm strength are why fans can't take their eyes off of him, and he is the centerpiece of a star-laden team that might feel the same kind of national love that the Suns felt on their way to a Western Conference championship. Murray's combination of size and skill make him one of a kind in the NFL, and we all know football fans love a good show, but there's also a feeling among some that Murray could have never taken full control of this football team with Larry Fitzgerald still in uniform, especially when the two were not exactly besties. But there's a bigger feeling that Murray understands this is his year, this is his time to get paid, this is his moment to shine, that it's Murray's time to elevate and nothing is going to stop him. It's almost fitting that Sun star Chris Paul selected Murray as his fantasy football quarterback because those two are the championship drivers in Phoenix, Arizona, and right now the Cardinals quarterback is at the wheel of a big red Corvette. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at the newly renovated Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Shop online at chapmanbmw.com.
I think it's natural for everybody to hear it, see it, if social media, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, man, when you touch the field, none of that matters. You know, all that goes out the window. Your job is to report. Your job is to, you know, have your opinion, whatever it is, whatever it may be, positive or negative, and we can't really control what you say. So it's on us to, you know, practice hard, compete, go out there on Sunday, Thursday, Monday, and do what we're, you know, supposed to do. And today we took care of business.
That was Kyler Murray Sunday after a very impressive performance by himself, by his team, 38-13 winners over the Tennessee Titans. On the subject of blocking out the outside noise, and look, there was noise. There's been noise about Kyler Murray since he came into the league. Could a 5'10" quarterback in an air raid system, could that succeed? In a big way in the NFL? Those questions are not fully answered. But man, chapter one of this book of 2021 was a pretty good read for both the quarterback and team.
There were a couple of moments in that game early on where I thought, Kyler's losing control of his emotions. There were a couple of scrambles where he made nice gains, picked up a couple of first downs, and they were called back for holding penalties each time, and you could see him kind of like deflate. But he didn't let that kind of stick. He led this football team with his play, and I think I just like what came off of him on Sunday. There was a certain level of comfort that really didn't seem to be there at various points in times over the last couple of years, and it really echoes what we've been saying all along and what everyone's been saying, that if Kyler Murray's going to be great, we'll know in year three. This is year three. Kyler Murray wants to be great. More to the point, he's even said he's striving for perfection, which he'll never reach.
No.
But that's what is driving him, according to him. And when you add it all up, it's really tremendously exciting to me, because there was a moment last year after the Hail Mary when this football team was 6-3 and there was sort of this awakening that, oh my goodness, these guys are Super Bowl material. And it really felt real. And a lot of people felt that way. 1 week into the NFL season, the same thing is happening. The Cardinals are soaring up the national rankings. People are talking sweet about them. They're being featured on national shows.
Yep.
And a lot of it is because of the star power of this team. I mean, Chandler Jones, 5 sacks. J.J. Watt, one of the most famous, marketable football players in the game. DeAndre Hopkins, top 2 wide receiver. And then this guy, this quarterback that people love to watch play football.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, being the subject of discussion on national shows. We shared this with you yesterday. We'll share it with you again. This is Jay Williams on ESPN. Overreaction Monday. Here's what he had to say.
Overreaction Monday. Kyler Murray's going to win MVP with the air raid system.
Oh, gosh.
Cliff Kingsbury comes back.
He's going to.
You can't poo-poo my Overreaction Monday statement, Alan Yates. Yeah, there we go. Hype me up. Look, man. I mean, let the stats speak for itself. I'm trying to tell people, you may not like the system, but are you not entertained? This will be the most entertaining style of football we will see. And if Kyler Murray can stay healthy, I think he could win MVP. With options like DeAndre Hopkins, the way he played, with Christian Kirk, the way he caught two TDs the other day, with what their defense looks like. AJ Green had a quiet day. But look, Kyler Murray, the way he can move around the pocket, the way he can get out, the yards he can gain for, Key, it's set up for him to have an explosive season in that division. I know it will be tough, but he has all the weapons to make it happen.
Now, that also on that show is Keyshawn Johnson of ESPN, and he does not share the same feelings about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
It's nothing against Kyler Murray. I can't stand the air raid. I cannot stand it. It is the worst offense going. They played against the Tennessee Titans, which is a bad defense, in my opinion. But the Arizona Cardinals look good on offense. You give them their credit. Kyler Murray running around, doing what he does best, heaving the ball, using his legs. Chandler Jones on the defensive side of the ball, 5 sacks. He abused that left tackle. It was ridiculous. But look, Kyler Murray played fantastic. 289 yards, 4 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground, an ill-advised pick there. At the end of the day, do I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to make the playoffs? Hell no!
Yeah, that garnered response. But, there's so much still built-in criticism or lingering criticism of the system.
Okay, the air raid system
anymore. I thought we saw a lot of creativity offensively. We saw Kyler Murray line up as a wide receiver on a play and a direct snap to Chase Edmonds, a play that worked relatively well.
Mm-hmm.
There's wrinkles now to get Rondale Moore the ball.
There was the megawatt package.
The megawatt package, which Cliff Kingsbury said he stole from Ole Miss yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that. That's right.
So I just don't understand the criticism. Even if you don't like the air raid, and now we've got Keyshawn Johnson on record and Rex Ryan still regurgitating takes he had from 2 years ago.
And again,
it's not about you liking it. It's about how effective it is for the personnel the Cardinals have. And through one game, it looked pretty damn effective.
Well, it's not the air raid offense anymore. It is a hybrid of stuff that Cliff Kingsbury... There's stuff in the Cardinals game plan that Cliff Kingsbury might have run at Texas Tech. But there's also a lot of stuff now that it's been amended, and it's there's pro style elements to this offense. So to think that he's running a full on air raid is just not accurate. So, So to me, I think that I wanted to see more than anything vertical passing. I wanted no more RPOs. I wanted no more bubble screens after watching Rondale Moore. I kind of think, okay, maybe screen pass game will be something they can do this year because he can get the ball and get upfield fast.
Now you got to cut out. I think there was two different receivers that had holding penalties out on the edge.
Right.
Need to clean that up. And that's that. Honestly, we had the Larry Fitzgerald discussion briefly yesterday. That's an area where you miss Larry Fitzgerald, who's one of the best edge blockers there was at the receiver position. So they have work to do there. But I agree with you. Rondale Moore can make the screen game a lot better than it's been.
Yeah, and so to me, this is something where I saw in week one, this was a very positive sign, and they're reaping the benefits from it. Now you're going to face a guy that really knows how to call defense in Mike Zimmer, and you're going to dealing with a much better defense, although you wouldn't know it from the Bengals game, but they're a better defense than the Titans. So if the Cardinals do it on Sunday, it's really going to get crazy. The hype train will be rolling, dude.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I do agree with you and Mike Zimmer and his expertise defensively. That defense got worn out at the end of last year. They got run on by Cincinnati. They got thrown on by Cincinnati. I'm not sure how great that defense is. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Text Red C right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 135 and 335. You could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday. Plus, one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Bick is right about one thing. Good start for the Cardinals. That's the good news. The bad news is they play in the toughest division in the entire world. We'll get into it more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
Stafford again wants to launch. Steps up and deals. Going top shelf. Cooper Kupp all alone at the 10. Touchdown, LA. 56 yards. He could have taken that one all the way to LAX.
That was one of the highlights for the LA Rams, their opening game at SoFi Stadium Sunday night. They beat up on the Chicago Bears, and it was everything as advertised for Matthew Stafford. First game as quarterback for the LA Rams. If you didn't see that play, you just heard the audio of that highlight.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp didn't have anybody within 30 yards of him, and he could have literally crawled to the end zone if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But people keep saying that Matthew Stafford was the missing piece to this puzzle. And week one, he had his highest ever quarterback rating in a single game in his career. He's been around the block a few times.
He has. But now he's got a head coach who is going to know how to utilize his talents. And Matthew Stafford, he's got two things that are elite. He's got elite arm strength, and he's got elite toughness. And he's got great size. So it's way more quarterback than Jared Goff. And I think you got a little taste of that in week one.
Yep.
So I'm sure they're tickled with what they saw.
Oh, Sean McVay certainly was.
I think it was just his steady demeanor throughout the course of the game. Just like you had hoped you had, you know, would see that you had seen in practice and that you had seen from afar. But I think their first drive of the second half was what I thought was the most impressive. But now I'm thinking about what an unbelievable job he did progressing, finding Robert Woods on the last touchdown. So there was multiple things, but I think the overall game management, and I think the expectation, you know, you could just see there was a look in his eye. He had confidence in his teammates. He expected to play well, and, you know, he did a great job. It's hard to say that there was one thing, Jim. I loved everything that he did tonight.
Yeah, he had a great game. 20 of 26, 321 yards, three touchdowns, a couple of deep balls. He had the two long touchdowns.
Yep.
That one to Kupp, one to Van Jefferson. And if Van Jefferson steps up to be that third receiving threat for the Rams, look out.
And that's the thing about Jared Goff, this quarterback of the Rams, that I don't recall ever seeing. I never was afraid of that quarterback beating you deep. Now, that system and the rollouts and all that stuff carved the Cardinals' defense up for years.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a different element.
Well, if you look at the big picture, just from the quarterback play and the offenses in week one from the NFC West, which, by the way, the NFC West, again, and the AFC West, they're all undefeated through week one. First time that's happened in two different divisions in the same week one since the NFL merger. Kyler Murray was spectacular. We'll find out. I believe the awards come out tomorrow. Kyler Murray's got a chance to be the offensive player of the week in the NFC.
Yeah.
That's the good news. The bad news is so do the other three quarterbacks in the division. Whoa. They have a chance. He had Kyler Murray, 21 of 32, 289 yards, four touchdowns and a pick. He had the lowest quarterback rating in the division.
Is that right?
Isn't that not a 121, which you'll take every day of the week.
Yeah.
It was the lowest in the division because he's the only one that threw a
pick.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes went for 336 and three touchdowns, including a fourth quarter comeback. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston threw five touchdown passes in a great upset, but it was only 148 yards. Jalen Hurts has a nice line, not as good as Kyler Murray's. Russell Wilson had four touchdowns.
Russell Wilson had four touchdowns and five incomplete passes.
That's right. And then
even Jimmy Garoppolo went 17 of 25 for 314 and a touchdown.
And then, of course, Dak Prescott had a 400-yard passing game with three touchdowns. Threw the ball 58 times. Against the Bucks, but they lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's got a chance.
He's got a chance.
I would say it's either Mahomes, Murray, or Prescott.
Well, they give one out for the AFC.
Oh, okay, that's right. So if we're talking about the NFC, it's Prescott or Kyler. Yeah.
Probably. Or, I mean, Matthew Stafford might get consideration as
well. Yeah, maybe.
And you have to wonder, too, if the same people are voting for, because you know Chandler Jones is getting the defensive award.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So not only that, in terms of the quality of the division, now focus on the defenses. In week one, three of the four defenses held their opponents to 336 yards or less, including the Cardinals, who completely shut down what had been a potent Tennessee offense to the second lowest single game yardage total in week one. Only the Packers had less yards for a full game than the Titans did. Long story short, this division is an absolute nightmare. It's almost unfair to have this many good teams. We pointed it out earlier, too. It's just one publication. But Yahoo Sports has the Cardinals moving up to number 6 in their weekly power rankings going into week 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the lowest ranked team in the division at number 6.
That's really stunning.
That's probably never happened in the history of power rankings ever. Anywhere.
That's really and when you look at these teams, you wonder what team is built to fall first. Who, you know what I mean? This is going to be crazy because logic and math tells you that 4 teams likely are not going to make the playoffs from one division. That would be very difficult to pull off. You would have to be practically perfect in your non-divisional games across the board to make that happen.
And then everybody would have to go 3-2 or 2-3 in the division.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it could happen, but you look at this, and I don't know. I think from what you saw in the Cardinals, you would say that the arrow's pointing up on them.
Yeah.
And you would say that they have a good chance of being better than the Seahawks. The 49ers, I want to see.
They looked really good for about 2/3 of that
they
game.
They did.
Yeah.
The 49ers have got great physicality, and they've got a world-class running game in terms of the installation, running plays, blocking schemes, stuff that blows the doors off of NFL defenses.
And I know they're hurt, Raheem Mostert's hurt, and he's out 8 weeks, and that's a big blow because he's been productive, but that running game, it's plug and play. The beauty is in the scheme and the blocking
that's
assignments.
Exactly right.
They've got two rookies and a second year guy as their running back stable, and they were very productive. In fact, their tight end, George Kittle, he was on ESPN Radio's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about how good this division is.
I've been saying that for a minute there, Max. NFC West, man, we got a lot of people out there, Cardinals got Kyler Murray, they got DeAndre Hopkins, they got Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, Rams have Aaron Donald. I mean, that's pretty good in by itself. And the Seahawks are always just bringing it with Russell Wilson. So, I mean, like, you got guys, everywhere. But at the end of the day, they got to go against our defense and Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead and Fred Warner. And, we have a lot of guys in there that can make a lot of plays, and I think our offense is going to continue to keep rolling. And the one thing that we do better than I think anyone else in our division is run the damn ball, and that's what we're going to continue to do and, be violent and be physical every single week.
Yeah. Overreaction Monday. Here's overreaction on Tuesday. This is the greatest division in the history of football.
Some research on that once. There have been a couple of crazy years in terms of 10-win teams and divisions. I don't recall exactly what it is, but you're right about that. Here's what I think would be interesting. Would the 49ers get to the point in this season where they would have to sub quarterbacks to get the more high-end potential guy to keep up with the NFC West? Because those kind of decisions get made by teams, right?
You see that in college.
You see that sometimes. In college, right? Remember when Nick Saban famously benched Jalen Hurts for Tua Tagovailoa?
Isn't that how Trevor Lawrence got started? I thought he took over halfway through.
He took over for Kelly Bryant, I believe. Yeah.
And so the 49ers might look at this and go, we don't have enough quarterback here.
He was certainly good enough in week 1.
I know.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
But it's Detroit.
Asterisk.
Right.
Text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. We all just experienced the first Arizona Cardinals game since 2003 where Larry Fitzgerald wasn't on the roster, wasn't on the field. How did he hold up through all of it? We'll let you know that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm going to guess Maroon 5, not a mustache.
That's funny.
I would not have recognized this.
It is Bickley Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on this Tuesday. You got to admit something to me, Bick. I got to ask you the question.
All right.
You had the same vantage point I did watching the Cardinals. I mean, different locales, but on the couch watching the Cardinals in week 1.
Indeed.
During the 60 minutes of gameplay against the Titans, did you think about Larry Fitzgerald at all?
No.
No?
No.
I had the thought when, you know, it was the establishing shot of Nissan Stadium when the broadcast was just starting right after 10 o'clock. I had it. I was like, this is a little weird. No Larry Fitzgerald. And then I didn't think about it again.
After the game was over, somebody on Twitter did one of those Larry Fitzgerald running back to the Cardinals like, and there was a meme of Forrest Gump running out of his driveway, right, exactly, circling after the
that
car.
That boy was running.
Yeah. Okay, here's why I wanted to speak about Larry Fitzgerald for a couple of different reasons. One, he spoke with Jim Gray about watching the game on Sunday. Do you got that?
Oh, I got
Let's play that.
I was elated, man, to see them playing that well, to jump out in that big lead, and to see Chandler get to his 100 sack, to be the dominant defensive player and front runner, defensive player of the year right now was fantastic. And, you know, to see Kyler be able to beat them with his feet and his arms, and, you know, it was a decisive victory and, you know, a great team victory. So I was happy to see him get it done.
Not a surprise there.
Okay.
Was that what you're referring to, or are you referring to literally how he watched the game?
Well, I found it in the duration of the interview, Jim Gray kept asking him what he eats during the game. And I'm like, this guy is more obsessed with food than you are.
Yeah.
What did Jared eat during the game on Sunday?
So he
you
keeps
have that cut too.
Okay,
about
let's
what
hear
you
this.
Ate? No. Here's how he spent the Sunday watching the game.
So you a couch potato now? What are you eating during the game when you're taking this in?
I definitely want to consider myself a couch potato, but it was fun to be able to get a chance to watch a few of the games around the league. You know, it was great, you know, to see the high flying acrobatic catches and some of the unbelievable defensive plays, you know, by, you know, TJ Watt, you know, I mean, there's some phenomenal players, and, to be able to get a chance to watch it, you know, kind of in depth from a distance is fun.
So you're not eating during the game?
Not the same things you're eating, Jim. That's for sure.
What are you eating?
Usually I'm having a smoothie, you know, doing some crunches, you know, riding a Peloton, you know, just you know, the normal stuff that anybody would be doing when they're watching a football game.
Finally, after all these years, I could say I have something in common with Larry Fitzgerald. That's exactly
right?
What I do.
Crunches with a smoothie and riding the Peloton.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's relatable.
There's Murata. He's 0-3.
He's 0-3.
I like the pause in his voice where he's like, are you really asking me this again?
Yeah.
Like,
Jim Gray, he wouldn't let
it go.
He was like you. He was obsessed what do you eat? I mean, really, what are you eating?
Jim Gray has, I mean, obviously carved out an amazing resume as an interviewer, but that doesn't mean it's always just really casual and natural.
Sometimes it's awkward
sometimes
and weird.
Okay,
I wanted to speak on this briefly because yesterday there were a couple of tweets that gained a lot of traction regarding Larry Fitzgerald. And I mentioned, number one, Kyle Odegaard, a really good football writer, used to work for azcardinals.com. Don't remember where he's at right now, and I'm sorry about that, Kyle. He tweeted out, quote, I know Larry Fitzgerald is an icon, but the Cardinals were hamstrung with him in the slot last year. Now that Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk are there, Cliff Kingsbury's scheme can flourish. That received a lot of negative reaction from people like, oh, really? So it wasn't Cliff Kingsbury's fault? Larry was calling those bubble screens all by himself? So, and there were people like, okay, it's a little quick to kind of say that, but when you look at that on the surface, if you are to assume that Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore made all of their contributions from the slot on Sunday, which I believe they did, that is something to consider.
I have to go back and like the scramble play that ended up with Rondale Moore where Kyler scrambled for 43 yards. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where he lined up on that play. I started to watch it on rewatching the game yesterday. On you know where everybody was lined up, and I did notice like Kirk and Moore moving around from slot to slot, but Hopkins was predominantly on the left side still. AJ Green, when he was in the game, he was lined up on the right side. I'm wondering if there's more flexibility there. But look, I think both things can be true in that discussion. We had those in real time last season.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the numbers were jarring for Larry Fitzgerald to see the production fall that much.
Mm-hmm.
He had been productive at times in the slot in his career, obviously productive outside, but it could be, hey, you know, was he altering the effectiveness of a slot receiver in the offense? That might be true, but I also think there was a level of misuse there.
I think there definitely was. I don't believe personally that Fitz was that done, that putting Christian Kirk in the same position, suddenly this offense now ignites. That's almost kind of blaming Larry Fitzgerald for a system not working. So I just bring it up because it was fascinating. Yeah. The other would be friend of the program, Chuck Harris, who writes for CardsWire in USA Today, who pointed out that he said, I'm paraphrasing now, something to the order of, I'll take it a step further and say that Kyler couldn't be doing what he's doing this year with Fitz in the room because butting heads, whatever, hard to be a leader with that guy and his huge shadow. That I do believe there's a lot of truth to, and I'm not assigned. There's no blame to assign here, okay?
Yeah.
I just think, if Kyler Murray wants to walk around and be the dude, it probably was very, very hard to do that with Fitz in the room.
Probably. And I saw some people similarly make the claim that that happened on the defensive side of the ball this year, too, with Patrick Peterson moving on and the Cardinals moving on from him and giving the full leadership of that secondary and really the defense to Buda Baker, who, with all due respect to J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, Buda Baker is the leader of that defense. Now, I think that's to a lesser degree because Buda had made so much progress in becoming a leader prior to that with Patrick Peterson even playing in the same defensive secondary. But
he's still looking over and going, man, that's Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, build a case for both of those things being true.
Yeah, I think they are. Because I do think that if there's one of the things that there does seem to be some unanimous opinion about or consensus about is the fact that Kyler is acting like more of a leader this year.
Through 1 week, I would say that it appears to be the case. Here was Cliff Kingsbury yesterday talking about some of those leadership things from Kyler Murray.
I said it all along. I mean, he's just taking ownership of this team. He knows it's his team, and he knows we're going to go as far as he takes us, and he's embraced that and worked hard at it, and he'll continue to do so.
Yeah, and here was Kingsbury on with Wolf and Luke yesterday in his weekly interview with those guys, talking about the passion that Kyler was showing on the sidelines.
Yeah, I would agree. I've made mention of this as well, but he feels like it's his team now. You know, he's really taken ownership of it. He's embraced that role, and you see that passion coming out.
Yeah, and if that's got to be consistent. You know, there wasn't a whole lot to be down about or to display the grumpy cat tendencies about on Sunday because things after, you know, that sluggish start went pretty well for the Cardinals. But that's something that has to be consistent. That passion, that outward, you know, emoting of, hey, this is my team now, that's got to be evident when things are not going well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that.
And that's something we haven't seen yet.
No, and that's something that, that again, I think is going to be a work in progress, and it's going to be tested when things aren't going as well. Like, on Sunday, things went pretty well for the Cardinals after the first touchdown pass. Then everything kind of got into a lane, and it was all good. So, not a lot of adversity on Sunday. Not a ton. Some early adversity, but not a ton.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens when that comes.
Week 2 of the NFL season kicks off this Thursday. You've still got time to sign up for Bick's Picks. Text PICK to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Just text PICK to 620-620 to enter. How'd you do in week 1, by the way?
About 500, Vinny.
Yeah, that's about what I would have done, maybe. I probably would have been under 500 had I made picks.
I think I was one game over.
It was rough.
Yeah. Tough
week. But now you got 1 week of sample.
Yeah.
You should be about 1,000 this week.
Oh, please.
Coming up next, the stadium in Las Vegas looks like a Roomba vacuum, but Monday Night Football there certainly didn't suck. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Well done.
Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
Now, week 1 of the NFL wrapped up last night in pretty grand fashion in Las Vegas. Allegiant Stadium, the Death Star, I guess they can call it.
You could do that.
There was a lot of fans there. First time the fans really got to experience an NFL game that counted there.
Yeah.
And man, did they get their money's worth. What a game between the Ravens and the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's really the first embrace between the Raiders and their new city, right?
Yeah, I mean, other than I don't know where they played their preseason games, although, you know, those are pretty tempered, but that was the first full-fledged game production kind of thing, and they pulled out all the stops. They had Bruce Buffer doing the intros, and they do Vegas. You know, they do Vegas things before games there. It was a pretty cool atmosphere, and the game was even better.
Yeah. To me, a couple things about that. The Oakland Raiders and the black hole in Oakland, I think at one point in time, had a real great mythology in terms of the NFL. But this stadium in Vegas and that vibe, it tells you that that Raiders brand travels, meaning you can take what is the Raiders brand and move it somewhere else and keep it the Raiders brand.
They already did that when they took it to L.A.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, remember when the Rams and the Chargers moved to L.A., everyone said, like, the one team they should have gone after was the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yes. That's the one that has the national fan base. And
The Raiders are interesting because when that news came down, I happen to know a lot of Raiders fans. It's almost like what precedes the name Raiders doesn't matter. If it's Oakland or L.A. or Las Vegas,
you're right.
You could plop them down in Des Moines, Iowa, and people would still follow the Raiders. And it's one of the rare teams that I think you can do. Maybe it's because they've moved around so much that they can do that.
Think about if the Cowboys got into a snafu with the city of Dallas and left and went to, like, Carolina. It wouldn't work. So
I know the Panthers wouldn't allow that.
But you know what I mean?
They would stand pat.
That's a brand that's purely rooted to their locale.
I could see both sides of that.
Okay.
Because it is America's team, and maybe I'm speaking out of school that Bay Area fans weren't all that hurt by the fact, and I remember talking to them. Hey, are you mad they're leaving? No, it's better for them. I'm still going to be a fan. There would be a good number of Cowboys fans in Big D that would be really upset that they moved.
Did I ever tell you my famous Cowboys fan story from their old stadium?
No.
One night after a Cardinal Cowboy game, I went out to walk to my car, which was probably a mile and a half away. I forget why, but it was a long, long ways away.
Because everything's bigger in Texas.
And so I'm walking, I've got my laptop slung over my shoulder, and I'm looking, and I'm going through this empty parking lot. And you know how depressing empty parking lots are after football games, right? Mm-hmm. It's full of trash, you know what I mean.
Try going to a game in Tucson and empty parking lots before the games.
So I see these lights coming at me, and it's a pickup truck, and there's a good old boy with a big old cowboy hat, and he stops, and he rolls down the window, need a ride? And I said yes. And I got in the truck with him. I'm thinking, what am I doing, man? It couldn't have been nicer. He took me to my car. So thank you, man. Yeah.
And that man.
Why did I tell that story?
Heavyweight boxer Randall Tex Cobb.
I thought you were going to say that you get in his car and all of a sudden. And you're like, oh no.
Mr. Bickley, you got a pretty mouth. I have a similar story. I was walking on ASU's campus to a Monday football press conference, and it was a year where they had to switch up the location for the press conference. So I was walking with the play-by-play voice of ASU, Tim Healy. And it was kind of where we had to park was all the way up north near the stadium, and we had to walk to Old Main this year. Car pulls up beside us and said, hey, do you want a ride? And we both said, yeah. Got in. Head coach Dirk Cutter gave us a ride to the press car.
Wow. Wow.
That's why Dirk Cutter is always okay in my book.
This is pathetic.
Anybody who can prevent me from walking extra steps is okay in my book.
Do you think that the Raiders are any good? Because I didn't think they were going to be good at all. And then they beat the Ravens.
Derek Carr is a good, is sneaky good. You don't think so?
Do you think he's in the Matthew Stafford category?
Not quite. No. But I think there's a lot of arm talent there, and there's a lot of courage there, and there's a lot of he's got a good charisma about him. He's a good natural leader.
The Drake Jacobs backfield seemed to work, which we all thought was crazy when they did it.
Well, I mean, it may work, but it was still, I think, nuts for the Raiders to give that much money to a backup running back in Kenyon Drake. Darren, I mean, John Gruden came out and said Darren Waller's the best player he's ever coached.
Yeah, I heard that.
He got 19 targets last night.
This is a guy who has coached Derek Brooks.
Warren Sapp.
Warren Sapp, those great Buccaneers players. And that guy's the greatest player he's ever. That's the thing about this guy. As a head coach and as a team, just when you're ready to just kind of commit them to, you know, Goofiesville for just stupid moves like the Kenyon Drake signing and other stuff like that, letting guys get away that they've let get away. Mm-hmm. You know, Khalil Mack,
Amari Cooper.
Yet he finds a way to get guys to play hard for him.
He does. He still hasn't had a winning record with
no,
the Raiders.
No.
The best he's done is 8-8. So
we just
had the discussion about the NFC West, and I don't think the AFC West is as strong because I don't think the Raiders could hang in the NFC West. I don't think the Broncos could hang in the NFC West, but there's four teams in that division that haven't experienced a loss yet either. So that's pretty rare. I think that's clearly the Chiefs' division. Although, I mean, and I don't want to believe in the Chargers just yet, but they just keep winning football games.
Yeah. No, I know. The reason why the Raiders aren't going to be a winning team is probably that. The division they're in. They're probably a 9-win team at best, but then you've got to, you know, downgrade them a bit because they're playing in a tough division as well. But it was a fun night last night. You pointed out Bill Barnwell had a great line about last night's game, and especially the way it ended, because the way it ended was just goofiness.
Yeah.
Right?
His line was the last 5 minutes of that. Let me find it here. The last 5 minutes of that game were like watching two people who have never seen football before play Madden.
Doesn't that work?
Kind of does. Throwing the ball off a helmet,
right.
Can't find your kicker,
right.
Having to take a delay of game.
And then twice, the score that almost scored the touchdown, and then the one that actually did score the game-winning touchdown in overtime, was an all-out blitz.
Yes.
And he just
threw the ball up
in the air,
right, yeah.
And the guy was wide open both times.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, and the place went nuts. Yeah. What a week. Week one in the NFL from top to bottom was just fabulous.
It really was. Hopefully week two lives up to the billing this week. Coming up next, 9 o'clock, time for some social studies with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.